Services on this Lord's Day morning. We're so very glad you're here. We've got a good number, it looks like, who are assembled today to worship God. I know we have several out of town who've gone to visit their mothers, but we're glad you're here, and we're thankful for all the visitors that are with us today. Is the PA system working? Can y'all hear me? Okay, I just didn't sound like it was working to me. I want to remind you tonight of our service at 5 o'clock. Brother Jamie Fee is going to have a special presentation that you will want to be here to hear and to see. Of course, we know that Jamie's been overseas in Iraq, and he's got some slides that he's going to show us. He's going to make some biblical applications and some lessons that can benefit us. So you want to be here tonight for our 5 o'clock service, and I would encourage you to invite somebody to come with you as well. For the first time ever, Will and Colleen Tucker are here with us as husband and wife. We're glad everything went well for them, and they've arrived back safely as well. Next Sunday, I plan to present a special lesson, one that I would have presented today if it wasn't for the fact that it's Mother's Day. I want us to talk about the proper reaction, particularly for Christians, in the recent death of Osama bin Laden. I think there's some things that will provoke our thinking, and I hope you'll note that and plan to be here next Lord's Day. Of course, we want to wish all of our mothers a very happy Mother's Day. We love and appreciate our mothers, and I want to begin today by reading something that I hope will catch your attention. It's called What My Mother Taught Me. My mother taught me how to appreciate a job well done. She said, if you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. My mother taught me religion. She said, you better pray, that'll come out of the carpet. My mother taught me about time travel. She said, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. My mother taught me logic. She said, because I said so, that's why. My mother taught me more logic. She said, if you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. My mother taught me foresight. She said, make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. My mother taught me irony. She said, keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. My mother taught me about the science of osmosis. She said, shut your mouth and eat your supper. My mother taught me about contortionism. She said, will you look at that dirt on the back of your neck? My mother taught me about stamina. She said, you'll sit there until that spinach is gone. My mother taught me about the weather. She said, this room of yours looks like a tornado went through it. My mother taught me about hypocrisy. She says, if I've told you once, I've told you a million times. Don't exaggerate. My mother taught me the circle of life. She said, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. My mother taught me about behavior modification. She said, stop acting like your father. My mother taught me about envy. She said there are millions of less fortunate children in this world who don't have wonderful parents like you have. My mother taught me about anticipation. She said, just wait until we get home. My mother taught me about receiving. She said, you're going to get it when you get home. My mother taught me medical science. She said, if you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to freeze that way. My mother taught me ESP. She said, put your sweater on. Don't you think I know when you're cold? My mother taught me humor. She said, when that lawnmower cuts your toes off, don't you come running to me. My mother taught me how to become an adult. She said, if you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. My mother taught me genetics. She said, you're just like your father. My mother taught me about my roots. She said, shut that door behind you. Do you think you were born in a barn? My mother taught me wisdom. She said, when you get to be my age, you'll understand. And the favorite one is this. My mother taught me about justice. She said, one day you'll have kids and I hope they turn out just like you. So I thought that was kind of a humorous thing. If y'all want some copies of that, I'll try to make some. But I thought that was very, very catchy. Of course, since it is Mother's Day, we want to wish all of our mothers a very happy Mother's Day. And I want us to look at our text today in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. And there the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with you and that you may live long upon the earth. The first known suggestion for Mother's Day was in the United States in 1872 by a woman named Julia Ward Howe. Incidentally, she is the author of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. But it wasn't until 1915 that the President of the United States proclaimed Mother's Day as a national day of observance. It's to be observed every second Sunday each May. You know, when we put things in proper perspective, it seems like a sad situation that we have Pickle Week, but only Mother's Day. And sadder still is the fact that the only honor that some mothers receive is just one day out of the year, the second Sunday in May, when our phones are the busiest and the restaurants are the most crowded. I tried to get my wife to cook today because I knew, you know, the restaurants were going to be so crowded because it was Mother's Day, but I didn't win that one. I'm just kidding. I've had to. Where you want to go eat today? It's your choice. You know, wherever you want to go, it's your choice. But restaurants are the most crowded today. But God says every day is a day in which mothers are to be honored. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. And I think many break the commandments of God by their tradition by honoring mothers only one day out of the year. And since mothers ought to be honored every day, I think Mother's Day becomes what it ought to be. And that is a day of special honor for her. And what I want us to do today is I want us to look at some reasons why Mother's Day is something that ought to be a special day. My PowerPoint is not working correctly today. For some reason, it's all coming up at one time, but that's just how it's going to have to be. May I suggest one reason why mothers deserve a special day of honor is the fact that mother is the most influential individual in the world. I think some Bible mothers attest to that fact. You think about mothers with a profound influence in the Bible for good. You think about Samuel's mother, Hannah, who prayed, God, give me a man-child, and I'll give him to you all the days of his life. Or you think about Moses' mother, Jochebed, who obviously raised that boy, that child, to become the great leader that he would one day become. Or you think about Ruth and the wonderful relationship she had with her mother-in-law, Naomi. Perhaps best of all is the influence of Mary, the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Some mothers, sadly, have had a negative influence. We read about, for example, Jacob's mother, Rebecca, who devised a scheme by which Isaac, Jacob's father, could be deceived. Or we think about Herodias, who instructed her dancing daughter to request that the head of John the Baptist be brought to her on a charger. Certainly, mothers have had a profound impact through history. Abraham Lincoln once said, all that I am or ever can be, I owe to my angel mother. And I've known a few great men and women who did not owe a large part of their success to the influence of their mother. It is true that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And then may I suggest today that mother is the most taken for granted person in the world. You know, so many times when a woman is asked what she does, the reply may be sounded, "Oh, I'm just a housewife," as if she's some kind of second-class citizen. There was a poem written about mothers by a faithful Christian in McMinnville, Tennessee, that I would like to share with you this morning. It says, "So they say she was just a housewife, and that's all she had to do. No career or prescribed profession could portray what she could do. But who kept the house so spotless? Who mended and laundered the clothes? Who makes a plain meal a party? Brought happiness to all that she knows. They said she was just a housewife, but not this mother of mine. For the beauty and grace with which she reigned in our home could not be penned by word or rhyme. She was never too busy to comfort either broken bone or heart. She knew how to solve all of our problems with love and understanding with her unaccomplished art. She knew she prayed for us often as she went about her work each day. The example of Jesus living in her was showered on us day by day. She knew the needs of our neighbors and when they had crosses to bear, my mother had just the solution to help them and prove that she cared. Her door was never fastened to those whom she could give aid. Though the hours were long and tedious and hard, her strength seemed to match them, untiring and unafraid. The people who knew her said she was a Christian. My daddy said she was a queen. To me, she's the most beautiful person either heaven or earth has seen. So they say she was just a housewife, and maybe that's truly her lot. If so, I pray that God will give every house one, for she's the best thing our house has got." You know, I think we fail to realize sometimes just how much mothers are really worth. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10 says that her price is far above rubies. That's one of the most valuable gems of that particular day and time. A recent article in Parents Magazine said that if you were to pay a mother for everything that she does, if you were to pay somebody to do that work, it would cost you $900 a week or $46,800 a year. And some of you are saying, "I'll take it in cash." But that doesn't include the overtime and all the extras that a mother has to do. And all things considered, a mother is worth much, much more than that. And when mother's not there, we're always reminded of how much she means to us and how much we depend upon her. And we ought to think about how much we really depend on mom. The poet said, "My wee one lay mid the snowy sheets and smiled in peaceful slumber sweet. Soon he opened his blue eyes wide and he saw me standing by his side. His baby lips quivered, loud he cried, 'Where's mother?' Small Ann was playing in the yard. She ran too fast and fell so hard. Up the steps she ran past me with bleeding hands and aching knee. Tears in her eyes she could not see. 'Where's mother?' When Jack comes in each day from school, throws his coat and cap upon a stool, into the kitchen he quickly strides, thinking of cookies and apple pies. If she's not there, he always cries, 'Where's mother?' My lovely daughter came up the steps, and right by my chair she swept. She asked not for sister or brother, but she asked the same old question, 'Where's mother?' I was their dad, so I could not see why they always asked for mother instead of me. But the next day when I came from town, before I laid my burden down, I asked the children standing around, where is Mother? You know, there's no CPA or office executive or a world leader that works harder or does more than my wife and the mother of my children. We need to never take our mothers for granted. Then let me suggest to you as well that being a mother is no doubt the hardest job in all the world. You stop and think about giving birth, for example. That process of giving birth ought to qualify, I believe, every mother for sainthood. I've been there and I've enjoyed every minute when all three of my children were born. But after witnessing the birth of all my children firsthand, I've been thankful every time that I was paying the bill and not doing the delivery. But we all know that the agony of giving birth is preceded by days and months of misgivings and discomfort. The last few days and weeks before that child is born can be agonizing at times. There's great concern about that unborn child, but we all know that there's much more to being a mom and a mother than just giving birth. Just think about all that a mother copes with on a daily basis. There's those sleepless nights with sicknesses and nightmares and various things like that. There's teething, there's the terrible twos, the ferocious fours, the threes on a breeze, there's the potty training, there's the first date, there's that first broken heart, there's nights of worry over late dates and auto accidents and teenage escapades, and all this is interwoven with thousands of dishes and diapers and don'ts. Many times the mother in the home is the primary disciplinarian. You think about what's involved in teaching a child responsibility. A lot of times it's easier to pick up those toys yourself, isn't it, rather than making the child do it. That's what a mom deals with. And you know, it's not over when those children are grown and they're gone and finally out of the house. A mother often finds herself free but lonely, a victim of that which she has dreamed about for years, the empty nest. A mother's entire life has revolved around those children and their activities, and when those children leave home, there's a tremendous amount of adjustment that takes place. She's then a woman wondering and anxious about her adult children, where they are and what they're doing. She sometimes deals with disappointments, heartache. Sometimes she is filled with pride and great joy. She tells herself that her children still love her and they need her just like they used to, while all the time missing the patter of little feet echoing through the house. In their particular book, How to Be a Good Mom, Stephen and Janet Bly have a section in that book entitled A Good Mom Never Yells and Other Motherhood Myths. I want you to listen to some of these myths with the description of a good mom. Number one, a good mom never bakes biscuits from little cardboard tubes that go pow. These are myths now. A good mom appears instantly whenever any family member yells, "Mom." A good mom knows exactly what garment each child wants to wear to school each day, has it washed and ironed and hung in the closet. A good mom is always home when you call. A good mom uses coupons to save a minimum of $30 on each visit to the grocery store. A good mom never raises her voice. A good mom never dreads teacher conferences. A good mom attends every t-ball game and soccer game in hose and in heels, fresh from the office, of course, or some other world-expanding venture. A good mom never leaves her children with runny noses in the church nursery. A good mom never says no to the PTA. A good mom keeps a regimented family schedule of daily tooth flossing and Bible memorization. Now, those are somewhat humorous, but I think it does point us to the idea that a mom's job is never done. It is the hardest job on this earth. And especially is that true if a Christian mother has an unbelieving husband. That makes it even more difficult. But then let me suggest that being a good mother is something that we all strive for. What makes a good mother? Well, I wish we had time today to turn to Proverbs chapter 31, beginning in verse 10. We have an excellent sublime description of a good mother. But what I want us to do today as we close is I want us to use an acrostic to describe what really makes a good mother. May I suggest, and they're all popping up at once, that the M is for modesty. How can we expect our children to grow up in this world and be modest if their mothers are immodest in speech or in demeanor or in dress? The O, of course, in mother is for others. I think all Christians have the responsibility to forget about self, to think about others. The Bible says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. But I think good mothers seem to have an extra measure of selflessness. May I suggest the T stands for teachers. A good mom teaches us right from wrong. They read to us our first Bible stories. They are there to hear our first prayers. They teach us by example with every fabric of their lives. The H in mother is for her heart of purest gold. Good mothers are all heart. They seem to have limitless compassion. I couldn't do what a mother does. My patience would run out rather quickly. But a mother has seemingly limitless compassion. The E in mother is for eternity. And though mom cares for the here and the now, and she is concerned about the physical needs of her children, her primary concern is for the eternal well-being of those children. That's why a mother may be the one who has the most concern that those children are always up and dressed and ready for Bible study and worship. A mother is vitally concerned about where her children will spend eternity. And then let me suggest that the R is for righteous. A good mother is always in a right relationship with God. She loves God. She depends on God. She prays to God. She worships God faithfully. She's in a right relationship with other people, in her work, and in her service. You know, the number one holiday in America for restaurants is not Father's Day. It is Mother's Day. In fact, Mother's Day, I believe, boasts a flourishing bonanza for greeting card companies, for florists, for candy companies, and most other retailers. But I've never heard any complaints about the disparity between Mother's Day or Father's Day. You won't hear me complain about that. And that may be because most of us carry around the nagging realization that prods us forever with those words, you just haven't done enough for Mom. But upon considering the content of Proverbs chapter 31, I think most mothers from reading Proverbs 31 realize they have a pretty lofty goal to aim for. But you know, we need lots of those moms around today if we're going to heal our societies, if we're going to heal our families. You see, it's only proper today that we honor mothers in a very special way. But we need to always honor our mothers by our love, by the respect that we give them, by proper obedience, and by being the kind of faithful child of God that she would have us to be. The greatest honor that we can give a godly Christian mother is to live the kind of life that she would have us to live and that she wants us to live. A life that glorifies and magnifies Jesus Christ. And of course, a mother delights when her children ultimately make that decision to obey the gospel. There may be those today who need to make that decision as well. You may need to come today and obey God's plan of salvation. Believe in Jesus Christ with all of your heart. And in that faith, be willing to change your life as you repent of your sins. Make that confession that Jesus is the Son of God. And today you can be baptized, born into the family of God, and have your sins washed away as you're buried with your Lord in baptism. This morning, the invitation is yours if you're subject to it. We ask that you come now while we stand and sing.